are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, hoops heads. Welcome to another episode of the Locked On Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. Warriors had a tough loss to the Kings. We'll get to that eventually, but first, I know that I continually tell you, check me out on Bleacher Report and Forbes.com. I realize I've been on a bit of a writing hiatus lately, the holidays, and then before that, it was a trip that has kept me busy, and you know, doing this podcast it's a good amount of work every day. I'm a new podcaster, so by all means, get in contact with me via Twitter or email, Twitter at Kogitare, Kogitare, or AlikoCarter11 at gmail.com with your comments about sound quality, about content. I'm open to it all. But now I'm home and settled and the podcast is rolling and I am getting back to writing. So you can check me out on Forbes.com. I've got a couple of stories coming up before the end of the month. One on Carmelo Anthony's foundation and another on endorsement deals for Jamaican sports stars. I actually am of Jamaican heritage on my dad's side. My dad came from Jamaica to the United States in 1970. And you might be interested to know there's a couple of very prominent NBA players with Jamaican heritage, Andre Drummond killing it, and then also Roy Hibbert. So I'm doing a little research trying to find out some information about how well these athletes fare with endorsements and representation. But this is, of course, a Warriors podcast, and we'll get back to that. In segment one, I'm going to talk about that loss to the Kings, the undermanned loss to the Kings. Segment two, we'll be doing the Warrior of the Week. You might be able to guess who that is. And then in segment three, we'll go around the league, talk about the Grizzlies firing David Fizdale, LeBron's 8-game win streak, where he fares in the MVP conversation, and who else might be on the hot seat. Doc Rivers. Big shout out to Peter Edmiston of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast for correctly predicting David Fizdale's firing. That's the kind of quality and knowledge and just learned commentary that you get from the Locked On Podcast Network. But yeah, let's get to this Kings game. The Warriors obviously undermanned, 51 points gone, with Stephen Curry out with the right hand contusion and KD out with the left ankle. So the Kings are coming in probably even more confident than they normally would have been. But like I've been saying, every team is giving their A game, and Dave Yeager had his team ready, particularly Willie Cauley-Stein, who blitzed the Warriors for 19 points on 8 of 9 shooting with rim runs and cuts and just beating Warriors players, you know, repeatedly. But even with Cauley-Stein's brilliance, the Warriors had a number of chances to win this game. I think that their execution down the stretch was impatient. Draymond, in specific, had a number of possessions down the stretch where he called his own number, but from the three-point line, which, you know, when you're feeling yourself, you're making threes. I get that. You know, he's a superstar. But at the same time, you got to play your team's game. And I think that the possessions at the end of the game were lazy and impatient. And there was little execution. It was just a lot of threes jacked early in the shot clock, which is fine unless the game is 96-96, 98-98, 106-106. At the end of the game, you've got to pound out possessions. Interesting statistical anomaly here. The Warriors hit 100 first and lost. That's very rare. But like I said, it's about execution, and the Warriors didn't execute tonight. I think down the stretch, the defense was iffy. Draymond got beat a few times, and Cauley-Stein was there to clean everything up. So yeah, the Warriors did give themselves chances to win this game, but the defense throughout wasn't great. They allowed six players, Garrett Temple, Zach Randolph, George Hill, Cauley-Stein, Bogdan Bogdanovic, and Frank Mason to hit double figures, and Scal Labissiere had 9 points. So it was just a really great all-around game, a well-coached game, honestly, from Dave Yeager, and a questionably coached game from Steve Kerr. Fewer minutes from Jordan Bell than I think we were all anticipating after his weekend. Only 6 minutes for Jordan Bell. So that definitely came as a surprise, with Kevon Looney also only getting 4 minutes. So Kerr opted to go small for the most part. Match speed for speed instead of size for size, but the nice thing about Jordan Bell is that he brings both. And the little time he did have, he had an amazing putback dunk, some awesome defense, and just, was in the right place in the right time. Patrick McCaw saw 33 minutes, scoring a season-high 16 points with career highs in steals and assists. 7 assists to go along with 4 steals, some really great play in the passing lanes. It was a great game for him to get going. 2 of 5 from 3. But post-game, he wasn't happy. I mean, they lost. So his being on the positive side of the plus-minus doesn't really matter. David West was a plus 11 to lead the Warriors. 16 minutes, 8 points on 6 shots. And defensively, he was probably the best Warrior out there tonight. Draymond played 38 minutes. Only 4 of 15 from the field. And 4 of 11 from 3. There is absolutely no way in hell that Draymond Green should ever be taking 11 three-pointers in a game. I think that's something that Steve Kerr might have a conversation with him about if he hasn't already. Because, it pulls him out. He only had 4 rebounds. Obviously, a stellar game assisting the ball with only 2 turnovers, 8 assists. That's great. But Draymond needs to be pounding and facilitating, and I mean, it's fine for him to call his own number, but 11 3-point attempts is Stephen Curry level, it's Klay Thompson level. I'm not even sure you're ever going to see Kevin Durant take 11 3-pointers in the game. So I think Dre got a little bit too 3 happy, especially at the end of the game, and it cost the Warriors. But even with the shot selection from Draymond, the stats suggest that this is a game that the Warriors would have won. The offensive stats suggest that. 50% shooting, 43% shooting from 3. Only 14 free throw attempts, but that's what happens when you take 37 three-pointers. And the rebound disparity was... There was no rebound disparity, 36 all. So besides the poor late-game shot selection, it was a defensive lapse that really doomed the Warriors, allowing 53% shooting, and the Kings really ran. They didn't take too many three-pointers, only 17 three-point attempts, making 9. They were shooting the lights out, and 11 offensive rebounds, which is where Draymond comes in. You can't be allowing 11 offensive rebounds, only grabbing 4 yourself, hanging around the perimeter, shooting 11 three-pointers in 38 minutes. When you're playing 38 minutes and you're the starting power forward, you really, really got to rebound the ball. You got to bruise, you got to push. And I don't think that that was what was on Draymond's mind tonight. I'm not sure that he thought this game was going to be a tough one. Which is surprising because every game is tough against the Warriors right now. Every team is coming tough. So he's got to do better, and he knows he has to do better. So that loss drops the Warriors to a respectable 14-6 with a season-long 6-game roadie starting in Los Angeles against the Lakers tomorrow night, Wednesday. Followed by the Magic, Heat, Pelicans, Hornets, and Pistons before they come home on December 11th to face the Trailblazers for the first time this season. Should be an interesting, if not difficult, roadie. There's some good teams on this trip. The Pelicans obviously have been playing pretty well, but the Warriors have shown they can handle them. The Hornets are an all-right team. The Pistons obviously beat the Warriors once earlier this season, have been playing out of their minds. And the Heat ended the Celtics win streak, and they're always scrappy. So that's the Warriors' upcoming schedule. I want to get to the Warrior of the Week, but first, if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. So if you're trying to target men between 18 and 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. So give me an email, alicocarter11@gmail.com, to find out more. All right, it's time for the Warrior of the Week, and of course it's Jordan Bell. And I did an extended bit on Bell in yesterday's podcast, so I do want to bring it back with a little bit of historical perspective before I go into how amazing he's been in his limited minutes over the last few games. So he went to Oregon, appeared in 104 games, 62 starts, and he was the Pac-12 all-defensive, the Pac-12 defensive player of the year in 2017 as a junior, twice named to the Pac-12 all-defensive team, and as a junior and as a freshman, and finished as Oregon's leader in blocks with 235, field goal percentage, 61%, and his 235 blocks rank fifth all-time in Pac-12 history. Went to the Final Four last year, had a great tournament, great season, honestly. The tournament, though, in the Elite Eight, he had a double-double, and in the Final Four game against UNC, he had a double-double as well, 13 points and a career-high 16 rebounds. So there's a reason that the Warriors paid for him, paid Chicago to acquire him, and it's because he does, he's got a Draymond type of mentality, a Draymond type of game as well. But he's a lot more athletic than Draymond. He can jump through the roof. He's listed at 6'8", 6'9", 224. He's still got that same low center of gravity, which helps him as a defender. And his timing in blocking shots is absolutely incredible, as evidenced by his six blocks in the game he started against the Bulls. Interesting note that Steve Kerr gave his career high in minutes against the team that sold him to the Warriors, and he said after the game that he wanted to see how cash consideration was doing on the other bench. So I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, against the Bulls, he was a plus 20 in that 49-point drubbing, and he just absolutely stuffed the stat sheet. And that's another one of those Draymond kind of traits, is he just makes things happen on every end of the court. So 26 minutes, 7 points on 4 shots, and he made his only free throw. And I love a player who can stuff the stock sheet, and that's steals plus blocks. He had 2 steals and 6 blocks in this one. 6 amazing blocks with 4 fouls and just 1 turnover. So really great game from him against a team that he was motivated clearly to play well against. But then the minutes went back down again. 7 minutes only against New Orleans, when maybe they could have used him a little bit more, but he had 5 rebounds in 7 minutes. Who does that? And he was a plus 5 in 7 minutes of play. And then only 6 minutes against Sacramento, when I honestly think they could have used him as well. He's like a quiet storm. You don't really see it happening, but then out of nowhere, there's just a crazy putback dunk or an insane block or something like that. But in the meantime, in between all of those amazing plays, he's doing all the right things, which is why he can get, 5 rebounds in 7 minutes, including an offensive. He has a knack for offensive rebounds, too. He only played 6 minutes in the game versus Sacramento, but grabbed 3 offensive rebounds, which is hard to do. So he gets the nod for the Warrior of the Week, despite playing few minutes, and hopefully we'll see him more on this road trip. Guys, this holiday season, how about giving your wife or girlfriend something totally different? Something romantic that celebrates the unique connection between you and her. I'm talking about a luxury gift service called Enclosed that delivers designer lingerie to you and your lady month after month. Enclosed is like a flower of the month or a beer of the month, but instead of flowers, she gets surprised with ultra high-end underwear. And this is seriously high-end stuff, the kind of quality that will really impress your lady. Enclosed was designed specifically to help guys find gifts for their wives. Enclosed is all about helping you make her happy. And Enclosed is effortless for you. Once you're a member, every month Enclosed sends your wife or girlfriend a custom curated lingerie gift selected just for your lady. And they back the gift up with a 100% size guarantee, so you never have to worry about fit. Enclosed is San Francisco-based and huge Warrior fans. Their offices, where they customize your gifts, are right down the block from the new Chase Center. You can join the 30,000-plus couples that love Enclosed, and I'll give you a little gift. Right now, you can get $20 off your enclosed holiday gift. Just go to enclosedlingerie.com, enter the code WARRIORS at checkout, and get $20 off any enclosed gift. Why not give your wife or girlfriend something that really reflects and deepens the connection between you two this Christmas? Something that you would never give your mother. Just visit enclosedlingerie.com and use code WARRIORS for $20 off the best holiday gift ever. All right, it's time to go around the NBA. I want to start with David Fizdale. Fired from the Grizzlies after losing 8 straight games. It's really tough in the Western Conference. It's really tough when you don't have all of your players. A lot of people have a lot of opinions about this firing. I think Kevin O'Connor at The Ringer said it very well, that David Fizdale is a scapegoat, paying for the sins of other men, particularly Chris Wallace, the GM, who's going to have to rebuild. Lots of injuries right now. Mike Conley is out with an Achilles injury for about another week at least. Brandon Wright, a very important piece, is out. Chandler Parsons, when is he going to get to really get an extended run? He's out with a right knee injury. Marc Gasol also is nursing an injury. Gasol has voiced his frustration, and honestly, it's safe to wonder if it's only a matter of time before he finds greener pastures himself, demanding a trade or something like that. It's now coming out that Gasol and Fizdale didn't always see eye to eye. Gasol said that himself, but he did say that he did not demand that Fizdale be fired. Gasol is a class act, so we can really expect that any issues he and Fizdale had would stay in-house. But interesting to see that him and Fizdale were not always on the same page, and that this year it really boiled over. But after an offseason in which continuity was the name of the game, Fizdale is the first domino to fall this season. Meanwhile, in the Eastern Conference, LeBron James is still very nearly leading the league in minutes per game, and it's starting to do something. The Cavs are 13-7. They are on an 8-game winning streak. But they're still 27th in the league in defensive rating at 108.2. Their net rating is 1.7. They're playing very well right now, but still the advanced stats say they're a mediocre team. But their upcoming schedule is cake. I mean, they've got the Heat today, which is going to be a bit difficult, but then they've got the Hawks, Grizzlies, Bulls, Kings, and Pacers. And those should all, I mean, they should be wins. Right now, the Cavs are up to third in the East, but by the end of this stretch, they could be knocking on Boston's door. And last, I'll address the Clippers. The Clippers are bad, okay? And Blake Griffin is now out with an MCL sprain, and it's unclear how long he'll be out. Clippers are relieved it wasn't worse, according to David Aldridge, but he doesn't have a timetable yet. The Clippers are 8-11 right now, tied with Oklahoma City for 9th place in the Western Conference. I thought they would be better. They're on a 3-game winning streak, so that means they were 5-11 before they kind of turned it around a little bit. So the question is, how much job security does Doc Rivers have right now? He's already lost his front office position, and I don't think Steve Ballmer is the kind of guy to sit around and twiddle his thumbs while his team flounders. So we might be seeing the next domino fall in the next few weeks, unless the Clippers can pull off a Christmas miracle in Los Angeles. They already lost Patrick Beverley for the season. Meanwhile, Danilo Gallinari has missed the last however many games, 8 or 9 games, with a strained glute, and won't be coming back anytime soon. So this team has really been decimated injury-wise, and it might just be the time to, I don't want to say throw in the towel. You want to try to make the playoffs when you have that roster, but the injuries have got to hurt. It's one of those things where you're not going to be able to rely on Lou Williams to bail you out 42 points every single night. DeAndre Jordan has got to get back to his all-star ways. But this might be a textbook example of a team that just isn't meshing with his coach anymore. I think that Doc might be the piece that needs to go. I mean, you just gave $173 million to Blake. He's going to be out probably for 2 months, according to Wojnarowski. He's the centerpiece. He's still young. He still can contribute, and he still can grow his game. Is he going to grow his game under Doc? Is the team functional right now? I think the answer is no. And Doc is obviously an incredibly, Doc Rivers is, you know, an incredible basketball mind and can bring something to a lot of teams, but it just feels stale in Los Angeles right now. That's my pod for the day. Join me tomorrow as I preview the first game of this 6-game roadie down in Los Angeles against Lonzo and bring you plenty more Warriors coverage. Have a great afternoon, Hoopsheads.